Of course, I always look forward to this hour when we have Brian Gettle and Bill Adkins here because it's always interesting. And today is a particularly good day to have these guys here. Good morning.
Good morning, Jack. Great to be here.
Hey, good morning, Jack. Good to be here.
Well, what can we talk about? Oh, I know. Let's talk about the Alabama Senate race. Roy Moore apparently lost. I don't know. He still hadn't conceded, I don't think, has he?
He's still waiting on God to deliver the votes, I think is what he said last
night. Yeah, they're going to bring his horse, and he's going to ride off into the sunset. That's how he voted yesterday.
God has delivered the message, no more.
No more. Well, first Democrat to serve in that Senate seat for 25 years. Uh-huh. Is this maybe a commentary on the man, or does it have anything to do with the weakness of the president, or both?
Yes.
Yes and yes?
Yes, I think it's both. I don't know that this is going to be a trend of any kind. I was listening this morning to various news programs, and there was a 37% swing in Tuscaloosa County from what Trump won to what Moore lost. Same 17% in a college – no, not a college, another town. I forgot which town it was. But I don't know that this is a – we'll see. It was very close. 20,000 votes plus or minus separated the two. And
that's very close.
That's very close. And like 1%, 1.5%, something like that. If it had been a 0.5% spread, it had been automatic recount, I understand. But and Mr. Moore is waiting for his horse.
It is more a comment on Moore. I mean, he would have won this election, but for the stories broken by the Washington Post after he wins the primary. He would have won that race. It was still very close. It does say something about Trump. His popularity is waning. It is down. But we don't know how much. I mean, he might have been the reason why Moore only lost by a couple thousand votes as opposed to losing by 5 or 10 points. So you don't know that. And I don't know if exit polling is going to be able to tell you that. The Republicans in the Senate especially are breathing a sigh of relief. That is probably the best thing that could have happened to them in this scenario is for Moore to lose, because now they don't have that albatross hanging over their neck, either in terms of being forced to hold ethics investigations and or Roy Moore being the face of the Republican Party going into the 2018 elections. They're still going to try to do that. They're still going to say, well, you supported this guy, but the Senate committee did not support him, and there was reluctance on most Republicans to come out and support Roy Moore.
I agree. I can't disagree with what Brian has said. There are still some principled Republicans out there who would not support Roy Moore. And here, I'm not comfortable with this sexual harassment, Me Too circumstances a bit, and I don't want to change subject on you, but
no, go ahead.
I don't like the blacklist type flavor I'm getting from that, and I don't think that it. I may have used this line with you before, but I was against Moore before it was cool. There were a lot of reasons to be against him, and that's said and done. But we'll see how this sexual harassment
don't really think it's changing the subject. It was part and parcel of this election. I think that's why the Democrats were forced Franken to say that he's going to resign. He hasn't actually done it yet. He said it's going to be in a couple of weeks. But they were forcing Franken to resign so that if Moore won the election, they can turn around and hammer the Republicans saying, look what we did with Franken with our bad guy.
Sure.
And you're not doing that with Moore. So it was very much a part of the election. I'm in a similar spot in terms of do these people have to resign? A guy like Franken, I'm thinking maybe it's the voters that need to make that decision as opposed to forcing him to resign.
That's what they did in Alabama.
You talk about a guy like John Conyers, and maybe he should resign. But again, that and so you have that dichotomy going on with the political people. Should the voters in their areas make those decisions as opposed to being forced out? And maybe you have to look at whether or not
right.
There's
every one of these cases got individual circumstances, and Franken doesn't compare to what was said about Moore. But
I
think that the people should have made the decision. You've got John Conyers. You're right. He settled a case for about, what, $27,000. But Blake Farenthold of Texas is still there. He settled one for $87,000. I'm sure you've all seen that photograph of him in his duck pajamas.
That's a great point, because that brings up what I think would be clearly a bright line test. If you've used taxpayer money to settle your sexual harassment claims, you should be gone.
Shame
Elsie
on
Hastings.
You.
meetings,
yeah,
should be gone.
Yeah.
If Fahrenthold did this, should be gone. So there's no question those types of situations, that definitely, that's abuse of public money, and they should be gone.
I'll see Hastings as a dead-on comparison to Roy Moore, removed from office as a judge at least once, if not twice. Same for Roy Moore. He's you know, who vetted him? He's been removed from office two times now. And he said that the Constitution would be much better if you remove the last all the amendments after number 10.
The other reason the Republican senators and Republicans are breathing a sigh of relief is this gives Steve Bannon a black eye and really discredits him. And you know, I'm reminded of 2010 when we had the Tea Party wave and it brought in good people like Cruz and Rubio and Rand Paul, but also gave us horrible candidates,
yes,
like the witch from Delaware and
right,
stuff like that. We should have won the Delaware seat when Biden took over as vice president. We lost that because of really oddball people who shouldn't be anywhere near politics being in politics.
Right,
and
early on.
Republican primaries.
Early on, the Tea Party did have some people that you could discuss. I was never for Rand Paul, but at least you could discuss it somewhat. But then you brought in the set with the powdered wigs and the don't tread on me flags that really meant nothing after a while.
Yeah. Okay. Let's open our phone lines here because I know you guys want to end. 253. We're having a little bit of a difficulty with our phone system today. And what I ask you to do, if you call, rather than the phone being picked up immediately, it's just going to ring. Just let it ring. And I'll get to you as quickly as I can. We're working on the phone system now. 253-5959, touch star 590 from AT&T. Toll free from anywhere, 1-877-777-0590. Email jackpatty at wvlkam.com. Here's a text. Our text line's 253-5959. Matt says, "This is America. Say harassment like we said it back in the 80s and 90s. I'm not sure what that means.
Harassment.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Harassment, I guess. Yeah. Gyllenhaal and the contest that's going on between she and the president now.
Yeah. Interesting insight that I saw yesterday was that Trump did that to try to take the attention off of the Moore race, try to, you know, get the media focused on something else so that maybe that somehow helps Moore. That's an interesting thing because what he did really did take a lot of the media.
Yeah.
And really obnoxious the way he did it. He left it plausible deniability about the double entendre that he had in his comment.
We'll do anything.
But, yeah, just a all around personally deplorable person, I think.
Yeah,
that's what USA Today said. I mean, he's meeting my expectations, and I think people are beginning to just have the same expectations I do. And I think I heard on the news earlier about the USA Today editorial.
Oh, editorial, yeah.
They scoured. I've never seen anything like that.
Ever.
And historically, I mean, whatever they might have called Abraham Lincoln, but called not fit to clean the bathroom in the Barack Obama Presidential Library or shine George W.
But let's
right,
put this all in perspective, because the number one slut shamer in the country was Hillary Clinton protecting Bill Clinton. There's no question about it. And Gillibrand supported Clinton. Hillary Clinton tried to destroy the women that Bill Clinton sexually assaulted. You had people like Carville saying you drag a $100 bill through the trailer park and this is what you're going to get, talking about Paula Jones. So there's a deep hypocrisy here from the Democrats and from Pat Warren from Massachusetts going after Trump. They were complete supporters of Bill Clinton, complete supporters of Hillary Clinton, and those two people are number one in terms of going after women and sexually assaulting women and then making those women feel bad because what was done to them.
Well, I don't know where you were going there because, I mean, but Hillary. I mean, it's the Clinton card, but we're talking about yesterday and Trump and Hildenbrand.
And Hillary leading the bimbo eruption squad. They had a bimbo eruption squad, and Hillary
but
led
Clinton.
That.
You know, the Clinton card is what it is. Here's what we have yesterday. We have Mr. Trump, who's not just deplorable but despicable, who said what he did, and the plausible deniability is not credible.
And pales in comparison to what Bill Clinton did to women. But,
well, you know
we're going to forget that because
it's Donald
Trump.
No, we're not, because you're always going to play that card.
No,
really,
well, I mean, that's the hypocrisy of the Democrats on this whole issue with Trump.
All right.
and Elizabeth Warren. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. And Bill Adkins and Brian Gettle in the studio with us this morning, 253-5959, touch star 590 from AT&T. Toll free from anywhere, 1-877-777-0590. Email jackpatty@wvlkam.com, or our if you wanted to send us a quick text, our text line 253-5959. Here's the text. The question I got for Bill is, I work for rich people. My livelihood is dependent on the wealthy since I left government service. The wealthy pay most of the taxes. Why are the wealthy not entitled to a tax cut? I take the standard deduction. If that doubles, I will make out. Why should those who pay little or no tax get the lion's share of tax returns on money they don't pay in? Mike, the refugee from the People's Republic of New York.
That's a pretty complex question to talk about the entire tax circumstance. But you've got 1% of Americans own about 60% of American net worth. So, yeah, you're right. They will. But life favors them. The circumstance favors them. They pay more because they got more. That's the way it works. I think 84% of American net worth is owned by about 20% of 10% rather of the American people. The middle class survives on about 6 or 8% of the American net worth and what's generated from that. You know, the current tax bill, by the way, if you're fiscally responsible, the current tax bill as it's presented is going to increase the deficit and or debt a $1.5 trillion per the numbers I've seen. You got Mnuchin coming out there with a one-page report saying it's a tax-neutral circumstance, and he's also selling unicorns and fairy dust. You know, you're talking about fairness. Let's talk about what you buy and sell. If you believe in trickle-down, by the way, it's never worked. 40 years. Didn't work for Reagan. Didn't work for Bush. Not going to work today. The circumstance is this. If you have an income, and you want to buy so much of a specific product, refrigerators, cars, etc. People who have income in the lower income strata buy the products that this 1% sells. You've got to pay these people so they can buy what you're selling. The idea that you're going to cut their pay and give them a tax cut of $1,200 a year, I've heard that number, they're going to pay more for services. They're going to pay more for education. They're going to pay more for everything. At the same time, the education is deteriorating. At the same time, your infrastructure is deteriorating. And I'll give you one final example. Get off this monologue. Money and time are the same thing. I'm going to choose a bridge up in Northern Kentucky, the Brent Spence Bridge. It's a big issue up there, the replacement of it. In 2003, that would have cost $750 million. They wouldn't do it. In 2012, it would have cost $2 billion. They still didn't do it. Right now, having not yet done it, it's $3 billion. You got to pay as you go, guys. You got to pay as you go.
Bill, while you were on that rant, the stable called you. Unicorn is ready to ride when you're done. Because that's
have
just
you saddled it up?
I mean, that's just complete fantasy. You're going to get into infrastructure building when Obama's entire presidential first year was, we've got to have the infrastructure. We're going to improve all the infrastructure.
He pushed infrastructure throughout, and it was refused by Republicans.
Increased federal spending by $800 billion per year, and then nothing was fixed. So, and trickle-down does work. That's how the economy works. There weren't a bunch of poor people who had nothing who said, hey, let's pool our nothingness, and then we'll build a building and create jobs and sell products. That's not how it works. Wealth always comes down from the top. So this guy is exactly right. You want to give tax breaks to everybody, and you naturally give tax breaks to the people who are paying the highest taxes if you want to stimulate the economy. On this $1.5 trillion that you're talking about, it raising the debt, it's absolutely ludicrous for Democrats to even bring that up. They ran up debts of $1.5 trillion in a single year. This is a projection over 10 years that assumes lower economic growth rates. If the Republicans
assumes. You know what that does, don't
you? Well, that's your guys. That's who you're relying on and quoting, is people who are making assumptions regarding the economic growth rate. If the economic growth rate is a half point higher than what they're assuming, a half point, it doesn't cost the country money. It's a surplus of tax revenue. So that's what you have to realize when you're dealing with this tax bill that's coming.
As a follow-up for this first question, the first person said, so wealth confiscation is the liberal idea fair?
No one's confiscating wealth. No one's confiscating wealth. During the greatest period of time this country had an explosion of economic advancement, I think the highest tax rate was 90% on the people of the
1%. John F. Kennedy agrees with trickle down.
John F. Kennedy was wrong.
Yeah. No, he wasn't.
He was wrong.
The economy boomed in the 60s. Now, the interesting part about this comment is what they're doing and talking about doing away with the state and local tax deduction. And even Republicans are saying, well, we have to do away with that deduction because what's happening is we are just subsidizing the state raising their taxes. because they get a deduction on their federal tax. Well, the problem with that is that it becomes double taxation. When you federal government tax the state and local taxes, you're getting a double tax on that income. And the other part problem with the argument that the Republicans are advancing is that it assumes they're saying, well, when you give a tax cut, it costs the federal government money. That assumes all income belongs to the federal government, and whatever they allow you to keep is an expense to them. Well, we fought that fight in the revolution. The income belongs to the individual, and what we give to the government is a cost to the individual.
You have missed the point.
And they have completely flipped that argument. Even Republicans have flipped that argument.
Missed the point. The state and local tax circumstance actually does what you've been advocating for years, giving money back to the states to do what they will do with it. Okay, they're not sending it to the feds, is what you've always complained about. The states are taking care of it.
I want the state and local tax deduction left in there because it is a double taxation.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. I misunderstood
and
you
there,
then.
And there's a way to deal with that for all these big liberal government, state and local governments that are planning
but
on
here
that.
Is how
you
it's going to hit
you. Just don't give them
too.
As much federal money back.
Here's how it's going.
10 seconds.
It's going to take away the capital gains break that you get for having a home for more than 2 years. It's going to take away the home deduction, the home interest deduction. What else are you going to lose? Yeah. There's so much more.
But you're getting
a
$24,000 initial write off that most people don't have that much in write offs anyhow.
All right. Let's see if this phone's working. Good morning. Thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Jack, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for calling. What is your name?
Bryce.
How you doing, Bryce?
Good. It's a fact that anybody that lived through Reaganism knows that we had the longest or the biggest expansion of the economy in the 80s. So supply-side economics, that's just a bold-faced lie that it doesn't work. But I have two questions. One, what happened to the due process clause in the 14th and 15th Amendment? It seems as if a woman just comes out and makes an accusation, and she's the judge, jury, and executioner. These guys, they don't have a chance to even defend themselves. And two, specifically from Mr. Atkins, Bernie Sanders at least claimed himself a socialist. How come the Democrats won't just rebrand to the Communist Party?
Because we're not communists, well, not even socialists, really. But as to the issue of the due process, I think if you didn't hear me when I first started talking this morning, I'm with you entirely. I think that the current sexual harassment circumstance is a bit is too McCarthy-like. I mean, you got blacklists, you got people losing their jobs without due process. I got a real problem with it. I don't care if it's private or public office. Now, on the issue of Reagan, I mean, you know, how do you count success? Let's see. Reagan came in at 7.5% unemployment, and when George H.W. Bush left, it was 7.5%. Reagan came in at $900 billion national debt. When George H.W. Bush left in 1993, it was 4.2 or 4.3 trillion. In the interim, you had the stock market crash of 87. The stock market hit 2,087 and crashed almost immediately. And then you had the S&L scandals, bank failures, bank scandals, okay? Now, that's the product
all that
of trickling
comparison to Obama doubling the national deficit in 8 years.
No, you're ignoring entirely what happened from 2001 to 2009 when you had the same exact mirror image situation. Trickle down, lower your taxes. It's going to be trickle down. And then you had, what did you have? You had crashed markets. Bill, you had explosion in national debt, by the way. During the Bush administration, the national debt doubled and he left the first trillion dollar plus deficit.
The problem with Bill is he's cherry picking his opportunities here because you have economic expansion and decline. That is a natural cycle. You can't eliminate that cycle. And there was a big crash in 2008 because of the greed on Wall Street and what was happening with Fannie and Freddie Mae and so forth. But you're just cherry-picking your information. There's no question that the economy improved after Reagan. You go all the way through to the 2008 crash. We have a continually expanding market when we're talking about using supply side. Even Bill Clinton used supply side and signed at the time the largest tax cut in history in 1997. Passed by the GOP House and the Senate, but
if I'm cherry picking, it's a bumper crop.
Let me get back. I'm glad Bryce called and brought up this one
thanks,
thing
Bryce.
Because we're going to give you the listeners, Jack, a quiz.
Okay.
Roy Moore reminds me more of Warren Jeffers than Thomas Jefferson. If you understand that, you are a political nerd and you have passed the quiz.
Good morning. You're on the air.
I have my pocket protector right here.
Hello there.
Hello.
Yes, you're on. Go ahead.
Okay, I just happened to pick up your station. I haven't been listening, so I don't know what you were talking about. You said there was something said about Reaganomics. Reaganomics, what effect they did get had to do with harvesting what's called low-hanging fruit. That means there's plenty of stuff going around that's easy to knock loose, and we have been in hard times for a long time. There is no low-hanging fruit left, so none of that applies now at all. Okay? Thanks.
All right.
Interesting point. I mean, we have been suffering economically since 2008. Obama didn't turn it around. They increased federal spending. They increased taxes. The economy suffered as a result of that. Top-down government command and control of the economy. They kept the housing market down because of their government regulations that stopped the economic growth. And now what we're seeing under Trump, when we go back to a president who's talking about supply-side economics and cutting taxes, what have we seen? The stock market has increased by almost 33% in a year. Businesses are hiring. They're investing in the future. That's what happens when you return money back to the people who earn it, as opposed to confiscating it by the government.
For 8 years, I heard how Obama was a failure. As a failed economy, he didn't improve things. All right. You're talking about a 20% plus or minus increase in the stock market in the 11 months that Trump's been in office? In Obama's first 11 months, the stock market increased 66%. Okay, 66.
After a crash. This is after 8 years of Obama.
So
without
The stock market
Trump is 33% in a year.
The stock market increased from 7,900 when Obama left office to about 19,500 when he left office. The trend has been nothing but up for years because of his leadership.
No, because capitalism trumps socialism, and we overcame the drag that he created on the economy.
Okay, your mic's going out. I want you to move over to that mic, and you guys are going to have to sit right next to each other and play nice.
Don't worry. The listeners didn't miss anything while Bill's mic was off.
Bob says we haven't heard much from Hillary about this. I wonder why.
She's not president. She's not president.
Oh, she spent enough time. I guess her book's such a failure. Can't go out and.
I know the Republicans would like to impeach Hillary, but she's not president.
Here are a whole
thank
bunch
goodness.
Of, whole bunch of texts here. Tell your guests under Obama, the government got filthy rich. The lower non-working class got it free, and the middle class paid for it.
Bingo.
You mean
quoting
the,
my favorite
you mean,
line from
you mean
Christmas
the 7.8% unemployment
Bingo.
Rate when Obama came into office didn't count. It became 8.3 in February, right after he came into office. The $1.4 trillion deficit, $1.2 of which was projected by the CBO without Obama spending the first nickel. And you talked about the stimulus, okay? What we're having here with this proposed tax bill is exactly somewhat of a stimulus at a time we don't need it because the economy is cruising.
Yes, sir, you are. Turn your radio down. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Howdy.
I sit and listen to this Democratic guy, and I just have to shake my head. Does he think that real people don't listen to the lies he tells and then hear
everything that I've said, sir, is a fact. You can look it up.
Everybody said that Trump would never get 3% growth, but we've had it three quarters in a row. And if it wasn't for the hurricanes, we might have hit 4%.
Thank you, Obama.
You know, I am sick of the government thinking that the money that I earn every day belongs to them first. And then I get the scraps of whatever they leave behind. My wife and I both work. We don't have any tax deductions because our house is, you know, we've lived in it 24 years. We paid on it. Every year, the government takes 75% of the money I can save on April 15th. And I am sick of it. I never in my life voted a straight ticket until the last election. But I also think it's pretty telling that the Republicans can run an accused child molester, but yet people don't want to vote for Democrats so badly that he loses by less than 1%.
Well, look, let me address what you said. For one, I think you ought to get another tax accountant. Two, the circumstances of this. Everything I said is factual. You can look every one of these things up.
It's an opinion that Reaganomics didn't work. Your opinion. It's wrong, not a fact.
As to the 3% rate, it has gone up under Obama. It happened four times under Obama.
Give
him some credit for it. And by the way, three of those quarters that you're talking about, those are the three quarters after Obama left.
Obama. Right.
Thank you, Mr. Obama.
No, it had nothing to do with Barack Obama. It's thank you, Mr. Trump, because businesses are forward-looking. people are forward looking. They don't go, oh, well, those were great policies in the past. So now,
making that assertion.
So now that you're not president, we're going to expand our businesses and make the economy grow. They don't do that. They saw Trump coming in. They saw the change. They knew that we would have economic stimulus with deductions. What?
You guys are burning it up this morning. Let's go back to the calls. Good morning. You are on the air.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
This is George.
Hi, George.
Your friend.
Yeah.
It seems to me that the Democrat Party, well, the Democrats in the Senate, will do anything and everything they can to find dirt on this president. We're including this dossier.
Yeah, that's right.
The Hillary Clinton campaign paid for. I think the American people are tired of the infighting between the two parties. Every time there's a Republican candidate in office, the Democrats file lawsuits. Every time there's a Democrat in office, they find all kinds of lawsuits. And people are tired of being caught in the middle.
Well, Oppo research is not uncommon. By the way, the dossier was first paid for by a Republican candidate, then it was picked up by by the Democrats, and a lot of that stuff has proven true, and it's still being investigated by Mr. Mueller, and I think Mr. Mueller's doing a fine job.
Thanks for your call, George.
We have more evidence of collusion between the Democrats and Hillary and the Russians. The ones that funded the Fusion GPS. One of the high-ranking officials in the DOJ, his wife worked for Fusion. The chickens
GPS
are coming home to roost.
The rats are
being exposed by you guys.
Why are you guys trying to hide
it? The Obama DOJ colluded with the DNC and the Russians to get this dossier out there. It's completely true. And Mueller's got a problem with this Zork guy, the FBI agent. If he did not disclose to Flynn's team before they took that plea of his absolute bias, emails and texts like, "You have a chance to protect us from this menace," referring to Trump, and he says, "I'll do what I can." You have that absolute bias. That is exculpatory evidence. If he did not disclose that to Flynn, and it appears that he didn't because he didn't make it public, he is engaged in prosecutorial misconduct and potentially obstruction of justice.
So we need to get to the bottom of Mueller. Look down upon and criticize and say things like that about a criminal defendant like Trump. Okay,
they don't get into the politics of it and say, hey, I hate this guy politically, so I'm going to use my criminal investigatory powers to take him out.
His FBI mistress,
who was also on that team, is the one that called him a menace, and Zork said, "I will do what I can
to protect him." And he shares the opinion of Trump's own Secretary of State. He called him a moron.
Here's a text that says, "So clearly Brian is comfortable with Kentucky subsidizing California, Illinois, New York, etc. by paying the federal government higher percentages because our state tax is 7%, theirs is 13%.
No. And the plan that I outlined is that it is double taxation. And if you say that it's being subsidized, what you're saying is that your money belongs to the federal government and they're allowing you to keep things. My proposal was allow those states to have that deduction, whatever their states are. But then the federal government is going to cap them at how much money they get returned. So we're not going to subsidize them. So we keep intact that idea that the money belongs to us and it's not a cost to the federal government when we don't pay them taxes. And we're also going to not subsidize these higher states.
Continue to cut your taxes. Pay more for education, for a car repair because the road's deteriorating, for health care, for everything.
We had eight years for you guys to fix these problems.
Hello?
Okay. One more caller. Hello, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello, how are you?
Hey, thank you. Yeah, it's been. I sit there and listen to you all argue. I like Jeff Sessions. I forgot what I was going to say.
Have you met any Russians?
That is my point. Is everybody's wanting to hack on Mr. Mueller about all these people that are supposedly anti-Trump from the start in this investigation, but when they get somebody in front of Congress or somebody, I'm sure, in front of Mr. Mueller in his investigation, then none of them remember what happened to Russia. And Mr. Sessions, I believe, said it, I don't remember, I don't recall, 29 times. And I mean, nobody has that kind. I have a mother that has Alzheimer's, and I don't hear, I don't recall that much.
Well, you were at a Christmas party 3 years ago, and the Russian ambassador was there. And did you talk to him? Well,
I think,
I think,
you know, if you're at a Christmas party, but you don't say, "I don't recall," I possibly did. I might have, but you forget everything to do with any Russian?
You could always assert.
If you are on the committee that deals with foreign powers, somebody, do you not remember?
You could always assert.
Yeah, you don't. You don't. And see, you're being fed by the fake news. We had this that Sessions was supposed to disclose.
Fake news is what you don't agree with. You want affirmation, not confirmation.
Fake news.
Let me ask you something.
Fake news, a fraudulent news service. Well, let's talk about
Jeff
Sessions.
Would you not prefer to assert attorney-client privilege like Donald Trump?
Whenever you all are faced with the truth, you shout over me. So here's the facts on Jeff Sessions and this disclosure.
Hey, look, I listened to you holler for 20 minutes while I was waiting on hold.
Well, we're the guests on the show. We're the guests on the show. We're invited here to discuss politics.
You are the rudest individual that you should be in office.
All right, I want to let you finish, Brian, and then we'll get a wrap-up from Bill. We're almost out of time. Thanks for your call, sir.
More fake news. Jeff Sessions, all this Russian interaction, they had to retract their story. He was not required to list his contacts in a Senate disclosure.
You saw that email, right?
It's just complete fake news that we're getting from the left. And it's not just that they're making mistakes. They're inherently deceitful in their premise.
They
want people to believe that all they're doing is presenting the truth, the Republicans, and in fact they're pushing their political agenda.
The Republicans are hanging their hat on a email that was sent in late December as to Mr. Sessions reporting his Russian contacts. And
the mainstream media could not get on the stand and testify because they have to tell the truth,
okay,
the whole truth, okay, and nothing,
okay,
but the truth.
Okay, children, all right. Let's take a deep breath and say Merry Christmas. Thank you, guys. We'll see
Merry
you next
Christmas,
year.
Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.
All right.